This is Aquedo, the main rubbish tip for Abidjan. It stretches almost as far as the eye can see, as scores of trucks drop off the waste from Ivory Coast's largest city. Hundreds of people, children amongst them, cluster round, picking through it with metal spikes. Indifferent to the smell, they're looking for whatever they can sell, plastic bottles or glass. It's how many people earn their living in one of the world's poorest countries. But 3 years ago, this is where tons of toxic waste from one of the world's richest oil trading companies was dumped illegally. Around here, they say that instead of bringing them wealth and opportunity, the company Trafigura has brought them nothing but disaster. This week's assignment follows a two-year BBC investigation into the scandal which is still being felt today. We can now reveal the cocktail of dangerous chemicals that was dumped in Ivory Coast. I'll be reporting on claims of continuing ill health and investigating a crime which has led to the biggest class action ever brought before the courts in Britain. August the 19th, 2006. People have vivid memories of the awful smell that suddenly descended on their city. Trucks arrived carrying loads of a thick black tar. This tar was dumped in at least 18 places all over the city. In the weeks that followed, 100,000 Abidjanis became sick and 16 people died.
Je pleure les pleurs, je ne te pleure pas Samba. Mon doux souvenir. Je pleure les pleurs, je ne te pleure pas Samba, mon bel avenir.
I cry the cries, but I do not cry you, Samba, my sweet souvenir. I cry the cries, but I do not cry you, Samba, my beautiful future. I dry those tears and I see this soul that needs soothing. I dress those wounds that are only soothed illusions.
The writer, Ina Hampate Bar, reads from the collection of poems she wrote to try to come to terms with the death of her son. Samba was 18, and his mother says in good health. But in the weeks that followed the dumping in 2006, Samba died of respiratory failure at the family home.
Dès le moment où je l'ai vu vomir, j'ai crié à mon mari, j'ai dit, ce sont les déchets toxiques qui ont pris.
As soon as I saw him throwing up, I cried to my husband. I cried, the toxic waste are taking our child away from us. I wrote this book because my son was good. He had a future. He was brilliant. He was my future. And they tore him away from me like that. He needs to stay. Something needs to remain of him. His life needs to serve a purpose. If he had stayed, he would have worked for Africa. He would have worked for humanity. His death has to serve towards humanity. His death has to save lives. And then he will not have lived in vain.
The toxic waste that Ina Hampate Bar believes killed her son and blighted Ivory Coast's commercial capital belonged to the giant mineral trading company Trafigura. It's one of the biggest independent oil traders in the world, and it's highly profitable. Its turnover last year was more than $70 billion, dwarfing the entire GDP of Ivory Coast. Trafigura has bases all over the world, including London, Amsterdam and New York. And yet, this hugely successful business is accused of shipping hazardous waste across the oceans to Africa, in defiance of international regulations. Marietta Hayono is based at Greenpeace's headquarters in Amsterdam.
The charges against Trafigura, as well as the captain, are falsification of papers. They deliberately were silent on the toxic nature of the waste into the slop tanks. And the other charge is illegal import and export of toxic waste from one country to another country, as well illegal exports from toxic waste from Europe to an African country, Côte d'Ivoire.
Greenpeace has fought a long campaign to prevent first world waste being dumped on poorer countries. The story of Trafigura's waste is proof to them that the rules are not working properly. It's to the port of Amsterdam that the waste was first brought. It came on board a ship chartered by the company called the Probo Koala, a rusting oil tanker registered in Panama. Marietta Hayono explains how the waste was generated.
In 2005, Trafigura bought Mexican coca nafta from Brownsville, Texas, and they want to use it to downgrade other oil products in order to maximize profits. But there's one problem with coca nafta. It contains very high level of sulfur, so they needed to invent a process to get the levels down. So originally, they thought we do it on land in La Skira in Tunisia. But what we understand is that there has been an incident with awful stench. And it was a reason for the authorities to kick them out of the country. Then they decided to continue with their process, and they decided to turn a sea ship, the Probo Koala, into a chemical factory. And for 3 months, from April to June in 2006, they used the Probo Koala outside the coast of Gibraltar as an industrial blending location. So what they did is, in fact, to minimize the levels of sulfur, is to add caustic soda. And normally, if you do this process on land, you do it in a controlled situation. But on a ship, you can never do it in a controlled situation. So in fact, you can say that the process went terribly wrong. And during the whole process of this caustic washing, what they call it, a horrible toxic waste was generated, which was collected in the slop tanks.
According to Greenpeace, the Probo Koala spent 3 months off the coast of Gibraltar cleaning up the fuel. By tipping caustic soda into the tanks, they were trying to replicate what happens in a refinery. John Hoskins, a toxicologist from the Royal Society of Chemistry, explains the process.
As a quick and dirty way of cleaning up crude naphtha, it's fairly efficient, providing you don't have to go to the expense of then getting rid of the terrible mess that's left behind. If it were done in a refinery rather than on board ship, there are ways of regenerating the material and taking valuable byproducts such as sulfur, elemental sulfur, out of the mix, and then recycling the sodium hydroxide. But of course, on board ship, it would just be a mixed mess and they would have no facilities for doing that.
This mess was several hundred tons of a thick sulfurous sludge. The port authorities in Amsterdam were told that this was merely ship slops, a standard oil and water mixture with a bit of caustic soda that can easily and safely be disposed of. However, when the waste was pumped ashore, a foul stench engulfed the area, triggering an emergency. The police and fire service were called out and tests were conducted. The BBC has seen the analysis carried out by the Dutch authorities on the sludge. It allows us to calculate what was really dumped on the streets of Abidjan. The waste contained 40 tons of corrosive caustic soda, as well as chemicals which are poisonous on contact with the skin. There were 25 tons of sulfur, including 2 tons of hydrogen sulfide, which is lethal in high concentrations. There were also 12 tons of mercaptans, the most powerful smelling substance in the world. John Hoskins says this toxic cocktail explains the overpowering stench and the sickness.
Well, if we take a big city, Manchester or London, let's say Trafalgar Square in London, the centre of London, you would have people being sick without any choice for several miles around. And that would involve, of course, in London, billions of people. And I think the effects will probably reach out right to the M25 ring. It's that powerful a smell. It's the most odorous material that has ever been produced that we know about. I think sickness is inevitable purely because the concentration, these are nausea-making chemicals, and the concentrations were so high that for a very considerable distance around, you would get people being sick. It's not very hard to imagine that if a pregnant woman is poisoned, that her body reacts by aborting the fetus.
However odorous, the waste could have been dealt with in the Netherlands. Trafigura was told the cost would be over $500,000. If they'd paid up, that would have been the end of the matter. But Trafigura chose to seek a cheaper alternative. The foul-smelling waste was pumped back on board the Probo Koala and the ship left port. In coming to Ivory Coast, Trafigura may have been flouting international agreements on the shipping of waste, but they were certainly getting a bargain. While the Probo Koala was heading towards Abidjan, a local company there called Tommy was being granted its operating license. It was set up by a man called Salomon Ogburogbu, who offered to get rid of the waste for just $20,000. On the face of it, his company seems a surprising choice to handle waste that had caused such alarm in Amsterdam. The BBC has seen legal documents which show that Mr. Ogburogbu had no chemical training. Indeed, his company had no facilities to treat waste. Mr. Ogburogbu is now serving a 20-year prison sentence for his role in the toxic dumping. On the night of August the 19th, 3 years ago, a convoy of Tommy's trucks arrived at the port to meet the Probo Koala. Their drivers were given face masks by the ship's crew to protect them from the smell. Loaded up with the waste, they headed off to Abidjan's main tip, Akwedo. As the first trucks offloaded their cargo, people were awoken by the terrible smell. The tip's operators were called out and they ordered the trucks to leave, forcing the drivers to go elsewhere. One of the trucks came out here to the countryside just outside Abidjan. The waste was tipped within a few hundred yards of the village of Djibi. Every last person here, 2,000 of them, fell sick and three of them died. Just down from the dump, the village had a thriving fish farm. Today it lies abandoned, the muddy waters still contaminated. The head of the village, Ese Motto, told me his community has still not recovered.
There were three dumping grounds. One was a big hole where they put in a tube and waste poured out of it. And it is particularly in that place, at the bottom, that the runoff from the rain infected the river and the fish farms. And so when all of this happened, people started getting sick. Everybody was sick. And then there were women who miscarried, and that was very painful. But worse was that three people, two adults and a young girl, were killed by the toxic waste. That was very hard.
Qui ont été tués par les déchets. Ça a été dur.
This is Plateau d'Okui. About 10,000 people live here at close quarters, packed into houses, some of them concrete, some wooden. They've all got a view over Lac de Dokui, a large lake, its edges covered in lilies, the banks lined with palm trees. This is where, in the dead of night, some of Probo Koala's waste was dumped. For the people living here, the effects were immediate and quite devastating.
La population, les voisins qui sont juste à côté, ont vu des citernes garées ici.
The community, the neighbors saw tankers here and people dumped toxic waste here in this lake. And all night, the population of Dokui started to suffer from odors. We smelt odors similar to rotten eggs, rotten fish, and everything smelled awful.
Dr. Jean-Louis Louya lives and works near the lake. His clinic started to fill with casualties.
There were people coughing everywhere, people smelling odors everywhere, and it caused problems within the community. And within the clinic as well, we realized that the number of patients coming in increased greatly. People came for consultations and they all had the same symptoms, the same problems affecting the ear, nose and throat area. And we realized something must have happened. Still today, people are sick.
As I left Dr. Louya's clinic, he was preparing to see two patients who are still suffering respiratory problems, which he believes are linked to the toxic waste. A similar scene unfolded here at Abobo. This is where Abidjanis come to get their cars fixed cheaply. Any second-hand part, however obscure, can be found in one of the sheds and trucks that are scattered over the district. Also here is a ravine, and this is where, again in darkness, truckloads of Trafigura's waste were fly-tipped. 1,000 people work in what is a very small area. They operate from trucks and makeshift huts. It may look chaotic, but the garagists, as they're known, are members of a union. Their representative, Salif Sogodogu, tells me that in the 3 months following the toxic waste dumping, a mechanic died. A further 500 fell sick, half his members. It cost them work they could ill afford to lose. He's still outraged at what happened.
Trafigura, bon, nous, on sait, on le connaissait pas auparavant. On ne peut pas dire qu'en même temps qu'on va...
Trafigura, we hadn't heard of them before. One cannot make money by killing poor humans, by killing the innocent mechanics, by dumping such waste. I think that it is cruel, it is evil, it is wicked.
The chaos and panic that followed the toxic dumping had a political fallout. Ivory Coast's fragile government temporarily collapsed. Two ministers lost their jobs. Such was the public outcry that when two senior executives from Trafigura, Claude Dauphin and Jean-Pierre Valentini, flew out to Abidjan, they were arrested. The men were held in prison for 5 months, only to be released at about the same time as Trafigura paid the government $200 million. The government said the money was to help pay for the clean-up and to fund improved health facilities. Trafigura say they paid the money not to assuage a guilty conscience, but rather to show their corporate social responsibility.
It's claimed that waste dumped in the Ivory Coast has left 100,000 injured and 16 dead. The company being sued answers the allegations against it live.
In 2007, a year after the scandal in Abidjan, a BBC investigation challenged Trafigura's claim that the waste was not harmful. Under questioning by the BBC's Jeremy Paxman, one of the company's founders, Eric de Turckheim, insisted it posed no risk to health.
Eric de Turckheim of Trafigura is with us now. Why did you send this waste to Africa?
Good evening. First of all, we very much regret the sickness of the people of Abidjan. However, Trafigura is in no way responsible for such sickness, but we are supporting Ivory Coast's efforts to clean up its environment and while at the same time defending ourselves against completely unfounded compensation claim. Let me take you briefly through
Can I repeat my question? Yeah, why did you send this waste to Africa?
Just listen to me briefly. I would like to take you through the facts and then I will answer the question. First of all, the waste in question, the slops, were a mixture of water, gasoline and caustic soda. Secondly, the discharge of slops is a routine operation which is carried out worldwide, and Abidjan is a sophisticated port fully equipped to handle such waste.
Right.
Three, the population of Abidjan has been suffering for very long-term polluted environment.
Mr. Turckheim, can you just tell us, please, why you decided to send this waste to the Ivory Coast?
The vessel, as I said, was on the normal commercial voyage, and the slops it was carrying, these material were not dangerous for human beings. They were smelly, but not dangerous.
Mr. de Turckheim, thank you.
However, since Eric de Turckheim's statement, Trafigura have changed their position. Their London operation, which chartered Probo Koala, is being sued for damages by 30,000 Abidjanis in the largest class action ever brought before the British courts. Following a legal agreement, Trafigura is no longer arguing that its waste was not toxic, nor is it contesting a breach in its duty of care. Instead, the case will come down to the issue of causation. Did Trafigura's waste cause the injuries suffered by the claimants? A statement from the company says,
By way of a very brief summary, Trafigura has agreed that if the English court in due course finds that individual claimants in the proceedings were actually affected by the slops in ways that can be compensated by the court, Trafigura will abide by those findings. In other words, Trafigura will pay any damages assessed by the court in the proceedings. However, it is important to stress that this proposal is most certainly not an admission of liability by Trafigura.
The case against Trafigura is due to be heard this autumn. Lawyers acting for the claimants, Lee Day and Company, have alleged that a dirty tricks operation was underway in Abidjan to persuade key witnesses to change their statements. In March this year, the High Court in London issued an injunction forbidding Trafigura or its representatives, which include leading law firm McFarlane's, from contacting the claimants. The international dimensions to this story bring us to yet another destination, Casablanca, thanks to the film A Place Synonymous with Intrigue. This is where Bou Undja, a man who'd never left Ivory Coast, was brought on a luxury, all-expenses-paid trip.
I wanted to travel and to meet Trafigura's executives. I wanted to know why they had dumped the waste and what they wanted from me. I was curious. But most of all, I wanted to travel. I had never been on a plane.
After a business class flight from Abidjan, Mr. Undja came to the Sheraton Hotel. Glass-fronted and gleaming, it feels a long way from Ivory Coast. Once he was here, though, Mr. Undja was to discover there's no such thing as a free holiday.
I was interviewed by two men from Trafigura for many hours. They wanted me to sign this statement, drafted in English in Morocco. If I've understood it well enough, by signing this document, I would have denied everything I had previously told Lee Day and Co. And I would have swapped sides in the toxic waste case.
McFarlane's deny any suggestion they've had improper contact with witnesses. Trafigura has again stated it was not responsible for the illegal dumping of waste. More than 3,000 miles away in Abidjan, the outcome of the case is keenly awaited. Madame Ba, mourning her son Samba, believes justice is long overdue.
They transport death. Their money is death. It is no money. It isn't life. It doesn't nurture. It makes no sense.